Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And welcome this morning. Frank Rush being joined by Tammy Silverman with the Indiana Youth Institute, IYI. Tammy, how you doing?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for having me back on.
Indiana Youth Institute, quick refresher. You guys are basically there to kind of help folks out and give them info they need to help make kids' lives a little bit better, right?
You're absolutely right. And so we work, what we say is we work with all the people who work with kids. So that's, you know, that's all the after-school programs and mentoring programs and faith-based programs and schools and all of that to try to make sure those organizations and those folks have the resources they need to help our kids.
I'm going to ask some of the older folks that are listening to kind of bear with me for a second, because when we went to school, we didn't have these kind of problems. But now that we're going back to school, stress is a big problem for a lot of kids nowadays that, again, didn't used to be a problem way back when for a lot of us. And that, believe it or not, really has a pretty dramatic effect, especially when we get down now to the most serious consequence of stress, which is teen suicide. And that's a real problem nowadays.
It really is. And I think, again, you know, unfortunately, many of us probably do know a family that's been impacted by teen suicide, but really the numbers are staggering. 1 in 5 Indiana high school students has seriously contemplated suicide. 1 in 5, right? And that's a huge number. And Indiana, we're second in the country as far as our number of kids who think that suicide is a way for them to address their issues. And obviously there's something that's going on there that we need to be paying attention to.
Unless we really know, I mean, unless the child really actually tries, or, you know, unfortunately might succeed sometimes, sometimes we kind of miss this. We don't know that they're actually thinking about it. What's some of the telltale signs that we need? Because obviously, if we could be more aware and kind of spot some of these signs early on, obviously the earlier the better. So what do we need to look out for?
Right. And I think you're absolutely right, Frank. One of the challenges is that teenagers, at the same time that this becomes an issue, they're also inherently moody, right? Their hormones are kicking in. So you don't know. Sometimes, you don't know if it's just a teen being grumpy or standoffish or, difficult. And all of those would apply to both of my teens at some varying different points.
It still applies to me in a lot of cases nowadays. So.
Right. And so you don't know if they're having a bad day or if they're upset about not making a particular sports team or whatever that is, or if it is something you need to pay more attention to. And so, again, one of the things that we need to, that we're doing is really talking about how do we educate? People don't need to. We're not saying that every parent or every educator needs to be able to identify, intervene, and really make sure that all of these kids are fine, right? That's too much to ask. But I know that one of the things that we've been working on really with the state is that they've passed great legislation to say all of our educators, so that's teachers, principals, counselors, all of that need to be trained on what to look for, right? So what is it when a child who maybe used to really enjoy hanging out with their friends now suddenly doesn't want anything to do with their friends or is home all the time, no longer goes out, shoots hoops, or does any of those things, when a child isn't eating at the same level, you know, and what do all of those things look like, and when do they roll up into something that needs more attention and intervention? And again, it's really that idea of looking at what those signs are and making sure you're connecting them to the right mental health services.
The hardest part of that would be is that, like you mentioned, you know, sometimes there are dramatic changes that are, I would say, easy to spot. But sometimes if you're living with your teen or younger, sometimes things do just kind of, I guess I would phrase it, they just kind of fade in. And without that shock to the system for you to notice, sometimes things could be going terribly wrong, and that's where we get parents and relatives sometimes say, "Well, I didn't know." And it's because it kind of so gradually happened right before their eyes that they really didn't know. So it's kind of important to pay attention and really be on the lookout for some of these things.
Absolutely. And to ask the questions. You know, I think having in our minds that back to school, you know, as parents, again, I've done the back to school shopping and making sure you've signed all the forms and everybody has their physicals and all their vaccinations and all their school supplies, but to also realize that we need to have a conversation with our kids about how they're feeling about going back to school. What are they worried about? And just asking them some really general questions and then taking a moment and listening and then throughout the year saying, how are things going? You know, what are you worried about? What's you know, maybe what do you feel great about that's going on at school and what's giving you stress or anxiety, and making sure we're having those check-ins at a regular time, not just, you know, and I'm guilty of this. I said it this morning. Do you have any tests or quizzes today? What have you done to prepare for them? What else is coming up this week, right? But also checking in and saying, how are they feeling about a lot of these various stressors that are in their lives?
And I think it's important to point out, too, and I'm not necessarily going to point the finger at you here, but I mean, you're in a position where people expect you to be the perfect parent because you deal with this. and people will look at doctors and school counselors and teachers, yep, and expect all you folks that do this for a living to be the perfect parent and automatically catch on to this. And I think it's important for folks to understand it's a job for you, too. You have to work at it just like they do.
Absolutely. Well, and first and foremost, there is no perfect parent, right? There's no perfect teacher. There's no perfect school system. It's, we're all a work in progress always. but you're absolutely right that we all, you know, sometimes a kid will make a comment and maybe they'll say something to their coach or to their youth group leader that they wouldn't share with their parents. Maybe you can observe some different behavior. And so it's all of our jobs to gather in that information. And maybe, you know, if you're the coach, if you're the coach and you see that this kid is self-selecting out of activities, or maybe it appears more angry or whatever those issues are, you have a conversation both with the student and with the parents. It's all of our jobs. It's in all of our best interest to make sure that these kids are healthy, both physically and mentally.
And an important thing to remember, too, is that for many teachers, coaches, youth group leaders and stuff, they deal with lots of kids on a mass level.
Yep.
So it's important for you as the parent to keep that pipeline of communication open, so that way if something does pop up, you'll find out about it because they'll know how to get a hold of you, and you have these conversations so that way they'll let you know what's going on if there is something.
Absolutely. And you know, we did some research and had some community conversations about anxiety levels with kids, and there was not a single teacher that we talked to who said, I don't want to talk to parents, like they're bugging me enough. None of them said that. They said, if this is an issue for your child, let me know. Let me know so that I know how to interact with that child in my classroom. You know, a lot of parents do know that their kids have high levels of anxiety, or maybe they're on medications to deal with that, but yet, you know, they might or might not communicate that effectively to the teacher. The teachers and the parents, you know, they're the team, right? They're the team that you need to engage on both ends. You can't expect the teachers or the coaches or the youth group leaders to know everything about your child that you do.
I will agree with you from the point that every teacher, every educator wants to be able to hear from the parents, but they want it to be a two-way street, because if you're the kind of parent that feels that your little angel can do no wrong, then there's really no point in even trying, because you can't move forward. There has to be a two-way street there, and there has to be a commitment to want to make progress.
You bet. And, you know, I've had those sighs of relief when a teacher, it's been a little while, thankfully called and said, you know, I need to talk to you about something that happened at school today. And I've said, absolutely. How can I help you? What do we need to be doing at home to reinforce what your expectations are at school? It wasn't, you can't be that, they're not adversaries. We're all invested for our kids, right? And if you approach it as we need to work together and we need to have open communication, we need to be realistic. Look, as there is no perfect parent, there are no perfect children. Every kid has great potential and also has some challenges that they're working on. So, you know, again, we hear a lot of this anxiety, I will tell you, we do see in kids that are very high performers, right? They put a lot of pressure on themselves. Sometimes their parents put a lot of pressure on them. Sometimes their schools put a lot of pressure on them. Maybe it's okay to not get all A's, right? If that means that they're more relaxed, that they sleep better, that they eat better, that they can socialize, maybe it's okay if they don't have, you know, all of that pressure on them.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's hard to realize just how much pressure they really are under nowadays. Again, if folks want to find out more about this and get some tips and read up on a little bit, IYI.org is your website. Tammy Silverman with the Indiana Youth Institute is our guest today. Hey, something kind of interesting, the 28th annual, blah, 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 all these numbers here. Kids Count Data Book is out, and it looks like from what reading I've done, Indiana kind of, at least here in the Midwest, we're kind of what, mid-pack, something like that?
Middle of the pack, you're absolutely right. So Indiana ranks 28th overall in the country for child well-being. And then when you look at where we are, we're behind Illinois and Ohio, but we're ahead of Michigan and Kentucky. So exactly middle, we kind of look at those five on a regular basis, ourselves and those other four, we're right dead middle, which I think, again, we didn't go up, we didn't go down this year. There's obviously more that we can be doing to help our kids.
Kids Count Data Book basically shows us what? It's a snapshot of kids' lives nowadays?
It is. It breaks down indicators of child well-being into economics, education, health, family and community. So it kind of buckets a lot, tons of data. Anybody that wants it, it's all available and searchable on our website. Sometimes that information is great, particularly for those nonprofits who are writing grants, right? This can break down for you a lot of that data and information and evidence that might help you get some of those funds into your own program. But it breaks it down into those big buckets and then says, how's Indiana doing compared to the nation and to some of our neighboring states.
If you want to read up on the Kids Count Data Book, that's also on your website, IYI.org. But let's just go ahead and in the short amount of time we got here, let's try to, which is kind of odd for me because I'm usually looking for the negative stuff and how can we make it better. But, so where did Indiana come out really looking pretty good? And then where did we come out looking like, boy, we could really work on this?
Well, our bright spot was definitely education. So Indiana ranks 14th overall as far as education, and the way that they rate that or the way that they calculate that is by looking at fourth grade reading levels and eighth grade math attainment levels. So for those two indicators, we're 14th overall. So when you think about we're 28th for all kids stuff, but 14th in education, that's really our bright spot.
Yeah, that's pretty good, and that obviously we can, pat our teachers on the back and also the kids, too, because maybe that's part of where that stress is paid off there. they're working real hard,
There is some payoffs going on as far as education. Now, one of the areas that we're still struggling in is the health. And, we've talked about that. We are the lowest. We rank the lowest compared to those other states as far as health. And that takes everything from obesity levels to infant mortality to the number of kids who are drinking or smoking rates. All of those kinds of things go into that giant bucket of health.
Yeah, we're what, 31st in the nation on health, right?
And
our closest here in the Midwest is Kentucky. They're 28, so they're three notches above us. So I mean, that's really kind of concerning that we're really that low.
We are, and as a longtime basketball fan, I don't want to be last out of any of those, right? And we certainly don't want to lose to Kentucky.
Yeah, you got a point there.
No, the reality is we do, again, when we're talking about health, Indiana really has, one of the things that we've lost track of, honestly, I think in talking about some of those other issues, is two things. One, the number of our kids who still smoke. And that's a big issue because that leads to a lot of other long-term health issues. And whether these days, whether that's, cigarettes or whether it's smokeless tobacco, or vaping, all of those things, proportionally, Indiana still has an issue with that. And I know that there's a lot of organizations that are going to be pressing hard on that in this upcoming legislative session to say, we still have a lot of work to do and we're not doing as intensive a prevention work. And then secondarily is that childhood obesity component. We're seeing a lot more kids that as children are developing some of those diseases that we used to associate with aging individuals. They're having cardiac issues. They're having sleep apnea. There's tons more kids that have diabetes and type 2 diabetes, right? And so a lot of those issues that we used to kind of think came along with age, we're seeing in overweight and obese children.
All kinds of great information from the Indiana Youth Institute on your website. You want folks to stop by there and take a look, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's a lot of data, but there's also some conversations on how we can help and how you as an individual community member or as part of a community organization, how you can help make some differences.
And even though there's lots of info there, it's not real deep in the weeds. I mean, if you don't want to go that far, you can actually get some good stuff without feeling like you're, you know, trying to read War and Peace. So
hopefully, yeah. Well, and like you said, I tell people, even the big data book, don't try to read it like a novel, right? Come in knowing what you want to look for, what's important to you. And like you just said so beautifully, you can pick out some of these high-level data points without having to do an hour-long analysis.
All right. Tammy Silverman with the Indiana Youth Institute, thank you for being with us today. I appreciate it. Frank Rush here. Thanks for being with us this week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.